Seated. I am so thankful to be able to fellowship with all of you. I can't tell you. And for those who are listening on the tape, many blessings from the San Diego Fellowship. It's my privilege today to just get to look out on all of your smiling faces. And I could just stand here and do that, you know. But what I want to talk about today is a really fun subject. And I want to talk about how we have spiritual clothes. And we are clothed with power from on high. So guess what verse that is? Luke chapter 24. That's where we're going to start. This was before the ascension. And it was looking forward to what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus says, in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, endued is an old King Jamesy word, and we don't use it anymore. But it just basically means to be clothed with. Now, I see that all of you have clothes on today. That's a good thing. We have spiritual clothes. We have been clothed on the inside, it says, with power from on high. And when you say on high, that's from God, see? We have been clothed with power from God. So I want to see a little bit about what that clothing is. And there's different ways that are described in the epistles what this clothing really is. So let's look at the first one. It's in Galatians chapter 3. The nice thing about this clothing is that it doesn't wear out. I've been so blessed to have Sarah and Stephen here visiting, but I kind of forgot how much energy it takes and to be around them and to keep up with them, and I decided yesterday afternoon that I'm not going to try anymore. But our spiritual clothes, praise God, don't wear out. They don't get tired. They don't get old in any form or fashion. So that's just really, really wonderful. Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When you see put on, you can substitute to be clothed with or clothe yourself with. We put on clothes, right? Well, what God has done in Christ Jesus is that he put on a whole, so to speak, clothes inside of us. Look at Romans chapter 7, and right there it's called being baptized in Christ. In Romans 7 and verse 22, it's called an inward man. Verse 22 says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I delight in these spiritual clothes, and I hope you are going to after I share with you today what they are all about. It's an inward man. Of course, we're all familiar with the verse, it's Christ in you, right? Well, Christ in you is a whole complete man on the inside of our physical man. So, it's Christ's hands behind our hands, it's his eyes behind our eyes, it's his heart behind our heart, it's his feet behind our feet. All of our physical things that we can think about are also in the inward man, plus a lot more. Because remember, we read that first verse, power from on high, right? This inward man has spiritual senses, just like we have physical senses. It can touch. So when I go up and I touch Rachel, guess who's touching her? It's the Christ that's in me, in my inward man. I'm physically touching her, but Christ in me is also touching her. If we get a hold of this concept of what our spiritual clothes are and we start walking out on it, then we are going to see signs, miracles, and wonders because we have power. It's on the inside and it's a whole complete man inside. So wherever we go, it's like Christ is walking. It's like he's speaking. It's like he's touching. It's like he's doing everything. So, another way it's described, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So this is another way that it's explained, is that it's the measure of the gift of Christ. So that means that also every single thing that Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth, we can do. It's a full measure. It's a measure of all that he was is in us. He had the greatest amount of Holy Spirit that was ever available up until the day of Pentecost. He had that on him. He walked with great authority. He had tremendous compassion. He had faith and believing like I can't even begin to comprehend, But that's part of the measure of the gift of Christ that we have within us. And it's a whole complete clothing on the inside. Just flip over to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 8 for a minute. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. One of the most wonderful things about this whole spiritual clothing that we have on the inside is that it was a gift. It was freely given because of everything that Jesus Christ accomplished. God was able to say, I'll give the gift to you, I'll give the gift to you, I'll give the gift to you. To everyone who would believe, he gives this tremendous packaged gift, which is all the fullness of Christ and the power of Christ. His faith, his love, his peace. I can list a whole lot of other things. Now, so you get the idea, right? We have spiritual clothes on the inside. Well, in the epistles especially, it talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. So we need to look at Ephesians 4 again. And look at verse 22. Because it's all well and good that we have this Christ in you on the inside. Now what God tells us to do is that we are to put on Christ in our minds on the outside. I said that you all wore clothes today. That's a good thing. Well, spiritually speaking, if we just know that we have this wonderful Christ in us, but we don't put it on in our minds, it would be as though we just decided that we were going to walk out of our house naked today. Because it's not on the outside. So you can't do anything. You just have to be sitting in your house because you wouldn't want to go anywhere since you didn't have any clothes on. That wouldn't be a good thing. So in our daily life, what we have to do is we have to put on the clothes on the outside. And what that means is that we put on what we have inside, we put on in our minds. And that's what it's talking about here in Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or the spirit that is your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, there's two words. You have put off, and the put off is a very strong word in both Greek and Aramaic, and it means to strip off. when everybody was done playing the game yesterday and they were all sweaty and you had all these dirty clothes on, you didn't go home and go in your bedroom and say, okay, I think I'll just take my clothes off real carefully here. No, you just like, get these clothes off of me, and you threw them in the corner and ran into the shower, right? That's the same kind of idea of what we should be doing with the old man. It's just stripping him off like he's dirty and he needs to be washed. You know, just throw him in the laundry, okay? Put him in the corner so he doesn't isn't there anymore. But when it says put on, then it's a very careful word. It's like you were going to go to a party. If there was a prom, or let's say you were going to get married, you would prepare everything about what you were going to wear. You know, you would have thought about it. You spent a lot of time preparing. You'd gone to buy the prettiest dress or the, you know, most handsome tuxedo you could find. You would have laid it all out on the bed, you know, so that it was all matching. It had the right shoes, the right tie, the right jewelry. And, you know, I've seen girls get ready for the prom. I mean, that was a 6-hour process, you know. The hair, oh, we have to have the hair just right, you know, and the makeup, and they're putting each other's makeup on. And you've been in a bunch of weddings this summer, you know, it's a production, right? Okay, but when we're talking about putting on the new man, it takes that kind of care, just like we were going to go to a party. Now, here's the thing. You put on the new man in your mind, all right? It's like getting dressed for a party. Now, if you were going to go to a party, or let's say your wedding, and you got all ready, you were completely dressed, would you stay in your room? The purpose of getting dressed is so you can go out and get married, have fun, dance, go somewhere, you know, and really enjoy being dressed up in this finery. Because even in a wedding, you know, you go through the ceremony, but the party is what's important. Dancing! So that's the same thing as if we just are always thinking about, oh, it's so wonderful, everything I have in Christ, oh, it's so great. But you never do anything with it? You never go dancing? It's boring! The whole point of putting on the new man in our minds is so we can go dancing, is so we can live with power, so we can have things work out in our life, and we can bring that deliverance that God has made available for us to every single person that we meet in lots and lots and lots of ways. We bring joy, we bring healing. It was really wonderful at the game yesterday to see, you know, a couple people got socked with the ball, and then, you know, right there, someone praying for them. And that, we are supposed to be living the Christ in you life every moment of every day. That's what it means to be clothed with power from on high. Being clothed on the inside with this wonderful inner man, which is our complete power base, and like Rachel saying, we're complete. There's nothing we lack in any way on the inside. As we put it on in our minds and we begin to live it day by day, that's when we see God working and bringing to pass what his desires are. So I want to look at how a little bit about this putting on and how it fits together. In Ephesians, right where we were. See, it's called a new man. Okay, I said it was an inner man, right? Well, how do we put on this man in our mind? You know? Okay, it's what you have on the inside, and you have to actually understand it and have it so that the clothes are on the outside, all right? Let's look at Romans chapter 13. And it explains what it is. Romans 13. It's called a new man. an inner man, the gift of Christ. That's what we've seen so far. Romans 13, and starting in verse 12, says, "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of" what?
Light.
Okay, the word cast off there is the same thing as put off. Strip off. Cast off the works of darkness. All right, now this verse says, let us put on the armor of light. So here we have another phrase besides the ones we've already seen about the new man. Now, God is so wonderful in his word because he always shows us things from different angles. He'll say the same truth, but if you look at it this way, you see it like this. And if you go over here, you see it like that. You know, like a movie camera will always give you a different view. And what makes a really great movie is that, you know, the perfect angle. They're shooting the scene in the perfect angle for you to really get the impact of it. Well, this particular verse, God has given us a different impact and a different angle of the same thing. We are to put on the armor of light. Now, God is light, right? Okay, so you can also substitute God here. Let us put on the armor of God. Read on, though. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We better strip that one off. Okay. But, verse 14, put you on, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, so in verse 12, it says, put on the armor of light, or the armor of God, which we already know is in Ephesians 6, too, and we're going to get there. The armor of light, and then verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are equal. The armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ is in you is the armor that we have. The protection we have is in three things: Lord, Jesus, Christ. Now, we say those words a lot, but each one of them is very, very important to show a certain emphasis of this whole complete package that we have, which is our power base. So let's look at Lord first. The word Lord means boss or master. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And when we say Lord, we are talking about authority and power in the sense of an oversight. Philippians 2 verse 9 tells about what it is. Verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Well, that pretty well covers it. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord, and what that means is that everything on this earth, everything above the earth, is under his feet. It's under his authority. So, if we have Christ in us, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord part means that we have authority, that he gave us the right to use his name, and so every single thing, I don't care what it is also under our feet. There's a wonderful illustration in Joshua about how when they defeated the enemies, when Joshua took the armies of Israel into the promised land, the way that they would symbolize the victory is they would make the enemy lie down on the ground, and they would go up to them and he'd put their foot on his neck. Because it was the enemies under their feet then, right? So it was symbolically showing what we have spiritually. Everything is under our feet. So next time you start saying, Lord Jesus Christ, something about Lord, that's what it means, is that there is nothing that can defeat us because his authority, his name, everything that is about him and how it's all under his feet is now under our feet. So you can start seeing that, hey, maybe I can walk with power. If I have the Lord on my side, you know, so to speak, I got to get it in my mind, though. See, I have to really think that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. And when stuff happens that wants to convince me that, oh, you're a worm, you're not really important, you don't have any authority, you don't have anything to share with anybody, I go, wait a minute, on guard! Christ is in me, and he is my Lord, and that means everything is under my feet. Let's look at the word Jesus. Jesus is a term that means Savior. Well, we were actually right there. We're in Philippians. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Back up in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the reason why God exalted him. Everything about the name of Jesus, which is a really beautiful name, in Aramaic it's Yeshu, in Hebrew it's Yeshua, it means salvation. Everything about the name Jesus has to do with deliverance, redemption, forgiveness of sins, how he's our complete Savior in every way. We had sinned in our life, and we deserved to have physical death and have there be separation from God forever. And because of this man, Jesus, who humbled himself and became a servant, doing the complete will of God, he made that redemption, that deliverance, that salvation available to us. So when we say Jesus, then you mean deliverance. When you say Lord, you mean authority, right? When you say Jesus, you mean everything that has to do with deliverance, forgiveness, redemption. And we could do a whole teaching on this. We could do a whole teaching on each one of these names, okay? But let's look at the word Christ. Go back to Ephesians 4. We often say we say Jesus Christ a lot. And after a while, it starts sounding like Christ is his last name. It does. I mean, we just say it a lot, you know. And so sometimes what you have to do to really get things clear in our minds is just go, erase, 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 erase. I'm not going to say it the same old way. I'm going to say it a different way so that I can get it to go in there and have it be stay in my heart. So the word Christ in Aramaic, it's mashika. And it comes from a verb that means to anoint. Now, a lot of people also talk about the anointing. And that doesn't compute either. It's like, anointing, what's anointing? You know. And you can go and you can read a lot of records in the Old Testament to see how the kings and the priests were anointed and stuff like that. But this is the key to understanding the word Christ. The verb to anoint actually means also to measure. It's a homonym. It's called a homonym, where it can mean either one. It can mean to anoint or to measure. And they actually have they have some similarities about what that means. If someone is anointed, they have a measure on them. Now I'll show you this in Ephesians 4, verse 7. We were there a little bit earlier. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Ooh, there's that measure. Measure of the gift of the anointed one. You have two words there. They're both from the same root, measure and Christ. And what that means is that the anointing is actually the full measure. The measure is the anointing. When you say you have Christ in you, then that is the full measure of the standing of Christ. Where is that verse? I don't think I wrote it down. The full measure, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's in Ephesians 4, 2, I believe. Anyway, oh, 13, there it is right there. Okay, see, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Anointed One. So if you are going along, you read the Word this coming week, every time you see the word Christ, every time you start talking about the word Christ, substitute it in your mind as the full measure. The full measure of everything that God gave Jesus Christ, that's what Christ is. It's a full measure. So I have the full measure in me. Yes! I have everything that Jesus Christ was. See? You start putting it together then now. Okay? Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on authority, dominion, power. Put on the deliverance, redemption, all our wonderful sonship rights. And put on that full measure of what Christ was. That means I have the faith of Christ. That means I have the love of Christ. That means I have his wisdom. Do you ever want to have wisdom? You have it on the inside. We put it on our mind and understand what exactly that is, and then we can walk out on the wisdom. It's not my wisdom. If I had to rely on my wisdom, we would be in really deep trouble. We relied on my faith. My believing is puny. But Christ's faith, his believing, was fantastic. I'm going to give you an example of how this all works. Acts chapter 3. And then, you know, you will be able to take this and see how it comes out into real practical application in our daily life. Acts chapter 3 is the record of the man who was lame from his mother's womb. Verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man was lame from the time he was born, and later on in Acts chapter 4, it says he was more than 40 years old. So for 40 years, he had never walked. And he had never walked. I can't imagine not walking. I mean, we walk everywhere. We take it for granted that we can walk, right? This man had never walked. That's a pretty big need, right? Okay. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And we can do the same thing, all right? We can, whenever anybody has a need, needs to be healed, you can basically say to them, look at me. Because you're not saying to look at me, you know. But you want them to look at the Christ that's in you. Look on us. That's what he was saying. Look on me. Look on us. And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. See, if you walk with that kind of authority, the Lord part, right? See, when you, Peter said, look on us. He didn't mince around. He didn't say, well, maybe if I tried, I think I could pray for you. And, you know, you might get healed. No. Okay. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you, I give thee, in the name of what? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of the deliverer, in the name of the one who has everything, all the power, all the measure, all the love, all the faith that you will ever need, in his name, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He got to dancing! And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was the man which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. See, when we walk out on and live the Christ in us, people are going to look at us with wonder and amazement. Wow. Wow. I've never seen this before. It's different. You're different. We're not just run-of-the-muck people. We have the power of Christ. We have that power from on high. Inside, and when we dare to walk out on it and to live it and to manifest everything that Christ is in us, then people are going to take notice. And they're going to be coming, flocking to us saying, how did you do that? Where did it come from? How do I get that? See? Now, everybody goes to Solomon's porch. Verse 12, then Peter stands up and he says, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why are you marveling at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? We never heal anybody by our own power. It's the power of God in Christ in us. That's what gives us authority. Power is authority. Why are you marveling? It's not my authority. It's God's authority that he gave me. He gave me the right to use it, though. So we just need to get busy using it. Saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. He goes on. He goes through this whole thing about what they did. And then you jump down to verse 16. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Okay, this is a little bit of a mouthful here, but the simplicity of it, in Aramaic it says, his name, by the faith of his name, this man has been made strong, whom you see and know. So, Peter and John had the faith of his name. They took their authority in Christ, and they said, look on us, and they said the words, in the name of Jesus Christ. They stood on the faith that they had inside. Okay, that's what Peter and John did. Then, it says at the end, the faith which is in him, the man responded with his believing and accepting that and saying, yes, I'll take it. Peter and John stood and walked out on the faith that they had inside them. They were wearing their spiritual clothes and moving. The man responded by believing what they said. Lifted him up, and he walked. The end result, Peter walking out on faith, the man's response by believing equals wholeness, deliverance. The man was more than 40 years old. There's nothing too hard for God. So, to kind of summarize, go to Colossians chapter 3. Like I said, you can take any instance you want to of healing, of deliverance, of prayer for someone where you know they need to have the word spoken to them. Well, we have Christ's wisdom, right? So if somebody comes to you and has a need and wants to know an answer for them, guess what? It's Christ's wisdom. So I don't have to think about what my wisdom is. I can just speak out what his wisdom is. You see? Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man. Okay, there's that inner man, the new man, baptized in Christ. The power base, right? Power from on high. We put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. These spiritual clothes never get old. They never wear out. You know, we go back to the story about the party dress. You spend 6 hours putting this beautiful prom dress on with everything matching, and then you go dance for 6 hours. The hem is torn. It's sweaty. even a wedding dress, somebody wears it, and by the time they're done with the whole evening, you have to get it dry cleaned, right? Our spiritual clothes never, ever grow old. They're always renewed in the image, which is Christ. It's renewed all the time. And it can be renewed in our minds. That's what it's talking about in knowledge. Have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. The word knowledge means mind. It's renewed in our mind. If we think that our spiritual man is old and decrepit and doesn't ever do anything, then we won't do anything. But if we believe, really, really see this, that it is renewed in our minds every day after the image of what God created. He created the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Now this is also really, really cool. You don't have to go there because you all know the verse. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, many, many times we are looking at it like it's Christ in me. And it is. It's Christ in each one of us. The same exact gift. It's the measure. It's the full measure of everything Christ is what we have as an individual. But in that particular verse, that word you is plural. It's Christ in you. Where we are going to see this power come into operation in our lives is where we join hands with our neighbor and the family right here, right now. We join and we say, I'll help you walk with power. You help me walk with power. You show and remind me about Jesus, how he delivered me, he accepted me, he forgave my sins. And I'll remind you about how Christ is wisdom. If we have a need, anybody, no matter what it is, healing, but many, many, many other things. When it's Christ, the power in us, see, in you, plural, that's when people are going to stand up and take notice. Peter and John were only two guys, right? They were not that special. They were just like us. But they took the authority that Jesus had given them, and they took what he had made available. They believed it, and they immediately after the day of Pentecost, they started walking out on it and doing it. Everywhere they went, there were signs, miracles, and wonders. Everywhere they went, people were delivered. So, this inner clothes, right? We have these beautiful, beautiful spiritual clothes that are on the inside, and we could take hours and hours to think about what that really is. What is that Christ in us? But We don't want to be walking around outside naked. Okay. We need to put on this beautiful dress, like it's a dress or a tuxedo. We need to put it on the outside, put it on in our minds, and then walk out and live it and proclaim it. And let's go dancing! All right? I love you guys.